Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There is redemption through Christ. Paul does not speak of uncertainty here. He does not leave any doubt in the jailer's mind. He does not say, well, if you believe in Christ, you might be saved. It depends. There's other things you need to do. There's other ways that you need to go down as well. Salvation is very complex. This was Paul's opportunity to tell this jailer the great complexities of salvation. And what does he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's no complexity. Simply looking to Christ.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, and I am delighted to have you with us as we consider God's precious truth and the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have been enjoying these programs, if you are a regular listener, then do get in touch with us. Let us know. The email address is pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, dot Cloverdale, F-P-C, at gmail.com. All of our information is available on our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. We look forward to hearing from you. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important message that men and women can hear. It is the only message that deals with their sin and points them to the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the salvation, the peace that comes from the forgiveness of sins, that great peace with God, can only be found through Christ and his gospel. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 asked a great question. He said, "Sirs," speaking to the Apostle Paul, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the Apostle told him very simply and very clearly, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Is that what you have done today? Are you believing in Christ, resting upon him through faith and repentance? Do you know him as your Savior? Oh, that you would believe upon him.
Romans chapter 6, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And tonight, if you know not Christ as Savior, if you know not his so great salvation, do not set his word aside. For it is in his word that he reveals to you your need of salvation. And that reminds us as well the importance of God's word and God's truth in evangelism. If we want to reach others with the gospel, we can't set the word of God aside. We can't use our own ideas, our own means to reach out with the gospel. We must have it based firmly upon the scriptures of truth, the doctrines that we set forth. The presentation of the gospel is a presentation about sin and about salvation and about the Savior. We cannot preach the gospel if these truths are set aside. Why did this man say, "What must I do to be saved?" Because he knew that he had to be saved. He knew that he had to be saved because of what had been said that we don't have account for here. But there had to be that belief in the revealing work of Christ. That Christ revealed the truth about sin, the truth about God, the truth about the gospel, the truth about His so great salvation. To have faith, there must be a knowledge upon which that faith is based, no matter how simple it might be. It's a belief in the revealing work of Christ. But I want you to notice, secondly, here as well, that it is a belief in Christ's redeeming work. A belief in Christ's redeeming work. He is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That name Jesus, referring to that Old Testament name Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. And the Lord Jesus is the Redeemer of God's people. He is the one who gave Himself. We are saved through His redeeming work. And this work is a work of necessity, because we could never redeem ourselves. We could never have that strength within us to save ourselves. I want you to turn to Ephesians 2. Again, a familiar passage in the gospel that reminds us here in verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And what Paul is telling the church at Ephesus here is this, and it is very, very simple. You were redeemed. You were saved. But not because of who you were. You were saved through Christ and through His so great salvation. And therefore, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a belief in the redeeming work of Christ. A belief that Christ Jesus saves. And when Paul and Silas instructed the jailer here to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, they were calling him to place his faith and his trust in the cross of Christ and in the person of Christ and in that finished work upon the cross. For without Christ and without the cross and without that finished work upon Calvary, there is no salvation. Again, we could think how terrible the cross was. We could think how negative it was, in that the pure Son of God died. But out of this death there came that fountain that flowed with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, as the hymn writer said. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The Savior said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But through that redeeming work, and the redeeming work of Christ upon the cross, it pays the penalty of sin. It is that means of reconciliation with God. And so when the apostle says here, in answer to this great question, "What must I do to be saved?" It's a Christ-centered answer. It's all about Christ. It's all about the Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a sure promise given here as well. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There is redemption through Christ. Paul does not speak of uncertainty here. He does not leave any doubt in the jailer's mind. He does not say, "Well, if you believe in Christ, you might be saved. It depends. There's other things you need to do. There's other ways that you need to go down as well. Salvation is very complex. And you have to believe in Christ, and you have to perform this and do this and do the other thing." This was Paul's opportunity to tell this jailer the great complexities of salvation. And what does he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's no complexity. Simply looking to Christ and looking to the Lamb of God and to his redeeming work. And tonight, if you're in your sin, you must place your faith in the redeeming work of Christ. You must place your faith in the Savior who died upon the cross. Dear believer, if you desire to witness for Christ, you can't be a witness of Christ and his gospel if you neglect the cross of Christ. If you neglect his death and his resurrection. If you deny that Christ died for sin, and you set that aside, oh, there is no clear presentation of the gospel to be found. Our gospel is a gospel that is founded upon the atoning work of Christ. He paid the debt. He shed his blood. Those Old Testament sacrifices, the shedding of the blood, pointed to Christ. There's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And so Paul says to this jailer, this is how you can be saved. This is how you can be redeemed. And he clearly says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thirdly, this is a belief in Christ's sufficient work. A belief in Christ's sufficient work. Emphasizing what we have here, the apostle believes in the surety of Christ's salvation. Why? Because he experienced it. He said himself he was the chief of sinners, but he knew the power of Christ's cross within his life. He knew the change that salvation brought. And at the heart of the gospel message is that truth that Christ, through his death upon the cross, has accomplished and fulfilled and completed everything that is necessary for our salvation. His death paid the penalty for sin. His resurrection gives us victory, securing eternal life for those that believe. And salvation is presented here in its reality. Believe in Christ, and you shall be saved. And there's a reflection here upon the sufficiency of Christ's work upon the cross. What did the Savior say upon the cross? It is finished. The work was complete. What does the apostle say? Believe on Christ. He speaks in Ephesians about the one in whom we have redemption through his blood. Time and time again, he draws attention to Christ as the only Savior, the sufficient Savior. Do you know what he does not do? He does not say you need Christ and other things. You need Christ and Christ alone. And here we have that thought, that truth we have in Romans chapter 1. Justification by faith alone, Romans chapter 1. And Paul rejoices in the gospel, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, verse 16. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That verse that struck at the heart of Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. Not through works, not through things they could accomplish, not because of who they are, but through faith in Christ alone. And the sufficiency of the work of Christ is a fundamental Christian doctrine, but there are those that seek to change it, or twist it, or limit it. I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 15. And the Apostle Paul was, in Acts 16, fresh on the heels, we could say, of a council that met together. And that council discussed a disputation that had arisen in Antioch, where the apostle was at that particular time. And verse 1 of Acts 15 tells us that these certain men came down from Judea. They taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. In other words, to be saved, you had to be circumcised. To know salvation, To be part of the people of God, you needed Christ, yes. But you also needed to fulfill the Jewish ritual, the Jewish ceremony of circumcision. And if you did not, you could not be saved. And what were they doing? They were saying, for the gospel, for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, we have Christ. Plus this, Christ plus circumcision. And that will be a familiar thought to us because there are many today, Christ plus this, and Christ plus something else, and Christ plus other things. But yet Christ is sufficient. Believing on Christ alone is sufficient. Many will set Christ aside and say, well, I don't need Christ. As long as I'm a good person, God is love. God is love through Christ. God is love in sending Christ to be our Savior. But God is holy and just. And many will look at the love of God and say, well, on the great day of judgment, as long as I was good, as long as I helped others, as long as I came to church, whatever it might be, I don't really need to commit to Christ as my Savior. I can live a good life and God will see me good in the end. That is not found in the Scriptures. That is not what the Bible tells us. What does Paul say? This jailer says, what must I do to be saved? And what did Paul say? Live a good life. Don't let any prisoners escape. You're married. Look after your family. Serve the Roman army well. Do your duty. Be nice to others. If you see a beggar in the street, give them something, help them, give them a little food. If you do all these things, and if you go to the synagogue, or you pop into church, and go into the service, now and again, it's good. That's not what we have in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. That's what some people think is in Acts 16, verse 31. Because they change it according to how they think. But the Word of God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All our good works flow from salvation. We're not to limit the sufficiency of Christ's work. We're not to add to that work. We can think of church history and how many traditions add conditions to the work of Christ. We can think of Catholicism and other faiths that add to the work of Christ. They add their penances and they add all sorts of things. Christ plus this and Christ plus that. Was Martin Luther who was embroiled in all of those things and found no peace through them. The just shall live through faith. And if we look to Christ and His work and we add to it, we undermine the sufficiency of His finished work upon the cross. If we add human endeavor and human merit and religious rituals to salvation, we are taking away from the sufficiency of what Christ has done. In other words, His death upon Calvary was not good enough. It could not save by itself. Other things are needed. But in Scripture, we see a glorious Christ. We see a victorious Christ. We see a Christ who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He alone is the Savior. Are you trusting in Him? Are you looking to Him? Are you resting in Christ? The words of Paul come to your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt find peace with God and the forgiveness of sins. Dear believer, the sufficiency of Christ's work upon Calvary, is it not an encouragement to you? Maybe you're doubting. Maybe you have a lack of assurance. Maybe you're wondering, am I truly saved? Is Christ truly capable of saving me? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And in your evangelism and in your witnessing, what are you building your presentation of the gospel upon? Is it not the sufficiency of Christ? We build our presentation of the gospel upon the Savior, who who can truly save, who is able to save, who is able to save. And then fourthly and finally, this is a belief in Christ's kingly work, a belief in Christ's kingly work. There's much we could say here. The apostle says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But believing in Christ, yes, we believe in what Christ has revealed. We believe in his redeeming work, his sufficient work. But he is our King. And when we're saved and redeemed, that is not where the story ends for us. Christ is the King who leads us home. Christ is the King who rules us, who sanctifies us, who changes our lives. And we find that this man was told, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And we find Paul and Silas coming into the house, being baptized, having meat, having their stripes washed, the word of God being brought to him and to all that were in his house. Verse 32, Christ was set forth as the one who would be the King of the home, the great ruler in salvation. And we find this prisoner or this jailer, he brought the prisoners in. And he cared for them. And he fed them. He showed love and compassion to them because he was changed. His life was changed. Christ was now his King. And the Savior reigns as King over his people. Dear believer, Christ is your King. Christ is the one who rules you and subdues you and changes your life. Christ is the one to whom you submit to. And as we turn from sin and as we look to Christ for salvation, we're coming under his kingship. We're believing in him as our King. One of the old Puritans said, in summing up this passage, he says that there are many things that we can rejoice in. He says we can rejoice and comfort ourselves against all our sins, our fears, our world's troubles, Satan's temptations, because Christ is our Savior and Christ is our King. He said we can bless God and boast not. There is no boasting because our faith is in Christ alone. It is not in ourselves. He says that we're to live by faith. We're to labor to be strong in the grace of faith. We're to labor to propagate your faith. We're to esteem them precious that have such a precious faith. We're to love the brethren. We see that here in Acts chapter 16. The jailer was converted and he brought the prisoners in to care for their physical needs. Oh, there's a great change that took place in his life. Why? Because he asked that great question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the evidence is there in this chapter of how his life was changed. Is there evidence in your life that it has been changed by Christ? That Christ has saved you, redeemed you, that he's ruling you and subduing you to himself? That those lusts and desires that mark your sinful life in the past have been changed through Christ? Oh, that you would know him, believe in him. And if you're not saved, that you would consider that you need to ask that question. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe in what Scripture reveals. Believe in Christ's redeeming work upon the cross. Believe that it is sufficient to save you. Believe in him as your King, as your sovereign, as your ruler. Place your faith and trust in him, turning from your sin and living for Christ. Oh, that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. May the Lord bless his word tonight for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. For you.
Our Spurgeon devotional is taken from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and the verse 13. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. Lo, the flowery month is come. March winds and April showers have done their work, and the earth is all bedecked with beauty. Come, my soul, put on thine holiday attire, and go forth to gather garlands of heavenly thoughts. Thou knowest whither to betake thyself, for to thee the beds of spices are well known, and thou hast so often smelt the perfume of the sweet flowers, that thou wilt go at once to thy well-beloved, and find all loveliness, all joy in him. That cheek, once so rudely smitten with a rod, oft bedewed with tears of sympathy, and then defiled with spittle, that cheek, as it smiles with mercy, is as fragrant aromatic to my heart. And thou didst not hide thy face from shame and spitting, O Lord Jesus. And therefore I will find my dearest delight in praising thee. Those cheeks were furrowed by the plough of grief, and crimsoned with red lines of blood from thy thorn-crowned temples. Such marks of love unbounded cannot but charm my soul far more than pillars of perfume. If I may not see the whole of his face, I would behold his cheeks, for the least glimpse of him is exceedingly refreshing to my spiritual sense, and yields a variety of delights. In Jesus I find not only fragrance, but a bed of spices, not one flower, but all manner of sweet flowers. He is to me my rose and my lily, my heart's ease and my cluster of camphire. When he is with me, it is May all the year round, and my soul goes forth to wash her happy face in the morning dew of his grace, and to solace herself with the singing of the birds of his promises. Precious Lord Jesus, let me in very deed know the blessedness which dwells in abiding, unbroken fellowship with thee. I am a poor, worthless one, whose cheek thou denied to kiss. Whose cheek thou hast denied to kiss. O, let me kiss thee in return with the kisses of my lips. We trust that our program has been a blessing to you today. Thank you for joining with us. And join us again on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.